Let's begin. This is now Daf Yud Chet, we take from the Mishnah, Salachavav. The Gemara begins. Kol anaseh damim ba'acher, kiven shezecha ze nitchav b'chalipav. What this means is basically anything that's not money. So if you're offered to give someone something in exchange for something else, that's a type of kinyan called chalipin. Barter we'd call in English. That's chalipin. Right? So hechlif, for example, ketzad, hechlif shor bapara. Let's say people want to exchange. Someone has an ox, other person has a donkey, and they say, that's a good idea. You take it, I'll take that. That's classic barter. Meaning, as soon as one party takes one of the items, the other item automatically becomes the property of the others. Okay? So, in other words, the Reuven has a cow, Shimon has a donkey, and Reuven, in this situation, he pulls the donkey, takes the donkey after they agreed. Then the cow dies. We'll say, Nebuch, sorry, Shimon lost out on a cow because since it died after Reuven has pulled the donkey towards him, well, the cow already belonged to Shimon from that point onwards. That's what we're saying. Meaning it's actually the kinyan is formed straight away when one party's moshech, the item that we're doing chalipin with. Okay? Now, Roshut Gavua Bekesef, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, a kinyan can even be done just with money, meaning the gizbar and the Beis HaMikdash. Roshot hedyot bechazaka, meaning with a mashiach, meaning pull the iron towards you. And a mared le gavur kamirso le hedyot dami. And simply declaring to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, we'll discuss what this means when we get to the Gemara about it, is like handing it over for hedyot. So let's now focus firstly on the first part of the Mishnah, which is that of chalipin. Konen se dami ba'acher. Now the Gemara says, "Tamatik any removable objects they can acquire one another. That's barter. That's chalipin. However, Rav Chuna says, "B'shem Rav, afilu tzibur." What that means is, let's say that someone has identical. There are two identical items. One has I don't know, a pile of wheat in one location. One has a pile of wheat in the other. And the person says, "Let me. I want to purchase your wheat in exchange for my wheat." Identical items, identical value, identical volumes. That would still be considered a kinyan, meaning it will be still considered a kinyan chalipin. And as soon as one party takes it, the wheat in another location will belong to the party who, if you like, held the first item in his possession. That's what we're saying. However, according to Amar Rav Elazar, lo shanu ela kones adam ba'acher belvad davar shehu tzarich lashum. What this means is that if there's two different items, if the two items are identical, meaning they've got the same value. We know how much they're all worth. Then it's no longer, that's why the Qur'an explains it. It's no longer Torah Chalipin anymore. It's no longer exchange. Rather, it's elakehalva'ahu. It's like a loan. And that makes a big difference because that means if you now treat it as a loan, so Reuven says to Shimon, give me your wheat and I'll give you my wheat, say another location. When Reuven takes the pile of wheat that has a standard value, we know how much it is, and standard volume, and it's identical stuff he's promising to give back. If something then happened to the wheat that Reuven owned in another location, we don't say, oh, Nebuch, sorry, Shimon, you lost your wheat. It was a loan. We treat it as a loan, and Reuven would have to return some wheat at a later date. It's no longer Batorat Chalipin. So it's important to understand with Chalipin, as soon as one person takes one, the other object belongs to the other. With the Halva, that's not the case. So that's what we're saying. The chalipin only works when we're talking about two different things. It says shedavrim that are that they're not equal value. We don't know what the sum is. Things like that. That's when you start saying the word chalipin. Now atu Rav Huna k'Rav Yochanan. So it's well, the gears changes Rav Babar Huna. So the first shita that says even things of identical value chalipin applies to, which he said in the name of Rav, that's like Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar's k'shitatei. As we see in another debate, it says as follows: Let's say got brothers that are shutafim, partners. When they're chayvim b'kalbon, they're p'tumim min ma'aseh behemah, v'shechayvim ma'aseh be'ah p'tumim min ha'kalbon. So these are two different dinim, which we have discussed before, I believe. Yes, we have in Masechta Shkalim. So one is that when someone gives a machatzet shekel, that's fine. They give a machzeh a shekel. That's obligated to do. Everyone has to do on an annual basis. If two people come together and offer a single shekel, you have to add this denomination called a kalbon. We said that we brought many different reasons exactly why that is and how much it is, but that's not the interest for now. What's important now is that's only if you talk about, say, two independent parties, shutafim. However, if a father brings for his children, I'd say, a full shekel for his two sons, he doesn't have to add that kalbon. That's point number one. Point number two, when it comes to Ma'aseh Behemah, The Mace of Bahima, Mitch, is, that a number of young lambs are born in a year, and every 10th one is offered and meant to be marked and offered as a korban. There's a ptur, your patur, in the case of shutafim. Okay, if they're business partners, then they can, meaning mamash, business partners, not simply two people in within working within the same company, or the same estate. We'll get to that in a moment. They're business partners, then they would be patur from Mace of Bahima. So if you like here, what the Mishnah is stressing is an inverse relationship between the two. When you're pater from Kalban, that means you're part of the same family. The money's coming from the, say, the father's money. They haven't split up yet. Then you'd be chayiv in Ma'aser Behemah. However, when you're pater from Kalban, that would be in the situation where the brothers from the Yerusha have each divided the estate and decided, actually, I like doing business with you. Let's join together again. In that situation, you'd be chayiv by Kalban if they're trying to pay money because they're considered independent parties. But then that situation, the business partners are pater in Ma'aser Behemah. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah is saying now. The question is, what happened that they split up and came back together again? That's only if, at the time when they distributed the assets in the estate, that's when it was a non-symmetrical distribution. So one of the children took the goats and one of took the tayashim and things like that, different animals. It wasn't symmetrical what they did. And then in that situation, you say, okay, well, now we can view that as being a kinyan. They both acquired the certain things and have to come back together. It's a business partnership. However, if, however, it was a symmetrical thing, you get five, I get five, you get five, I get five, whatever, of order, each type, then when they come back together, the Shem, it's as if they have never divided the estate. So I'll read you the Korban Eidah. He says, because if they've just simply divided, we don't look at it as like a kinyan, they each purchased, like purchased from the estate. That was a chelik they were meant to get from the beginning. When they come back together, we're back to the Tfusat HaBayit, we're back to the original Yerusha. Meaning that which they inherited. Now, just one other point I want to say that I neglected to mention is there's another situation where you would be parted from Mais Bahima. That's if you bought some lands. Okay? So what we're saying now is, therefore, if it's just a straight symmetrical chalukah, it's not as if you purchased it, as if that was your Yerusha from the very beginning, you were meant to get. So you're not part of Ma'aser Behemah, and going forward, if they come back together, we've just gone back to Tfusat HaBayit, as if they're never divided, and therefore they'd be now chayiv in Ma'aser Behemah. So you see quite clearly, when you're dealing with things that are sorry for it cut off. Yeah, you're back again. So in other words, wait, so I'll just go over again. Anytime you got things that have equal value, you don't treat that like a mechira. You don't treat that like as a sale. As we said before, in our case, it was like halva. And it's not even considered chalipin. It's not considered an exchange when things are mamash of equal value. That's l'shitato. However, what we see here is the other opinion. Even if the division was like for like, it was a symmetrical division, then they're still considered lekuchonen. Meaning, if you receive, as a gift, or you purchase young lambs, it's part of Ma'aser Behemah. That fits in with the second point I mentioned before regarding Ma'aser Behemah. So he says quite clearly, even if it's like for like, you can still consider that acquisition or barter or trade, and that really aligns with the debate we saw above, whether we say like for like is still considered in under the banner or under the framework of Chalipin, or whether we say it's actually, no, it's not even considered acquisition anymore, it would be considered more like a loan or something. Okay, so it lines up nicely. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef b'shem Shmuel. Sorry, I missed a bit. Let's go back up three lines. Sorry. What would that be? That was a bechalk where they divide bechalzufin, as we said. That's when he said shutafin. When they didn't divide at all. Okay, when they're still working with the Tfusat HaBayit, they have the monies of the estate are still intact. Okay, that's what we said. They're not considered business partners, so therefore that would be Chayiv and Maaseh Behemah. And when it comes to the Kalbon, if the state is paying for the Machatzeta Shekel, it's like the father's still paying for them. It's not like it's said two independent parties and they depart from Kalbon. Fine. That's sort of explaining what we said up above. Now, Rabbah says B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, who says B'shem Shmuel. Lezeh para v'lezeh chamor. One person is a para, another person is a chamor. Hichlifu zeh, shel zeh, et shel zeh lezeh, v'et shel zeh lezeh. Okay, they want to exchange. Mashach bal chamor et ha-para. What happened is the Baal Chamor came and took the para towards himself. He pulled it towards himself. Ba Baal HaPara, the Baal HaPara comes along and wanted to take what was rightfully his as a Chamor. Vinimtsa, and it finds out the Chamor is dead. So Baal HaChamor, now who's, we don't know when this Chamor died. On who do we place the burden of proof now to establish the time of death? Because again, if it died before the Bala Chamor pulled a Bala Para, well, it wasn't a good acquisition, Bichlal. It's still, but Chamor, in other words, he was doing a Chalipin on really a dead animal. However, if it died after it did Chalipin, well, Senebech, sorry, the original Bala Para, who acquired the Chamor as a result of the Kinyan Chalipin, it's dead. It died after the sale. Bad luck to you. So the question is, who's the burden of proof on? So the Gemara says, now what's interesting here, is you might say that once, well, the person, the Bala Chamor, who now has the cow in his possession, you might say, why don't we apply the principle we find by all monetary law, Hamotzi Mechavaro, you're trying to extract something from somebody else, the burden of proof is on you. But we said that's not necessarily the case. We said, Bala Chamor, Tzarich Lavi Raya. The Bala Chamor, the person of the Chamor, he has to bring proof now, Shaita Chamor Kayemet, that his Chamor was alive at the time of their transaction. Why? Generally, we do say if you're trying to extract funds from somebody else, the burden of proof is you, except for Chutz Mina Chalipin, except in the case of Chalipin. Now, the question is why? So I'll show you the Korban Eder here. He says, Shemachzik Atzmo, meaning Machzik Atzmo, the Bala Chamor that took the para, he's holding it now. He is Misupak. But para, he's got a suffix whether it should even be his. He doesn't have a tana bari that it's even his. The azlinan, and since we don't, he doesn't know when he took that it was really rightfully his. We say azlinan batar chazaka marakama. We have to fall back onto the previous known status with 100% certainty. Who was a marakama? The original owner of this para was the bala para. So therefore, we say that's why he says it's a bala chamor that has to bring proof that the chamor, his chamor was alive at the time of the transaction to say that it was a good sale. Okay, so this goes if not it's not it doesn't break the law of motzi l'chavaraya alavaraya, but it just doesn't apply in this situation. That's the point because you've got a suffix. That's the point. And it says, Umanda lo sava dala milta. If someone doesn't hold with this lo sava benizikin, he has no idea. He's not holding himself benizikin at all. Okay, those of Dinamamon. However, so that's the contention of Abba, who said Rav instead of Shmuel, Rabbi Huda instead of Shmuel. However, Azira says, Nasavala. He says, however, Azira says, look, I don't hold like that. I don't know if that's true. I'm a Simchavala, rather. I should apply in this situation as well. So Amar Abba, Rabbi Zira. He says, Matnita Messiah, so he said there's a writer that seems to, well, we're going to see, that seems to support, if you like, the Shitat Shmuel. So it's not a writer, it's a Mishnah. We saw this in Masechet Ketubot. Hayu ba mumim. Let's say a man was Mekadesh and Isha. And then it was discovered she's still in her father's house, haven't got fully married yet. And it's discovered she had various mumim. Okay, various blemishes that seem to be concealed. The husband's claiming Mekachtaot. The father's saying, sorry, these developed after the fact. She's developed later. It's, it's your bad luck type of thing. So if you want to divorce her and the father wants to say, well, claim the ketubah, well, on whose proof is it? Oh, not in divorce, it says no mekudesha. So Gemara says, hav tzarich, so the Gemara says, ha'av tzarich levi raya. The father has to bring proof. The Gemara says, if he wants to get the ketubah, but what about the kesef kiddushin? What about the really expensive ring that he gave, or whatever it is, the money, the kesef kedushin? It says lo habal tzarich la'avera. The baal doesn't have to bring proof to get that money back. Tzarich la'avera lo tzi kedushin mirushut ha'av. Mashma what? This seems to be exactly like Shita Shmuel. You saw the Gerusa chain above. I said Messiah Shmuel, not Pliga Shmuel. How does it support Shmuel? Because that's exactly the point. Even though the father has in his possession the money, the Kesef Kiddushin, since it's a safek, we don't know when the mumim were developed. We go back to the marakama. We go hand it back to the husband. There's no, the man who tried to do the kiddushin, the so-called husband, he gets that money back. Okay, that's an exact perfect proof for the shittat of Shmuel. Tell me, doing the Rav Yonah Amrim, which says no, maybe not, maybe tiftar b'kiddushei ktana. You can't necessarily bring a proof from this case because we're going to be talking about kiddushei ktana, where the kesef kiddushin wasn't so significant, wasn't so substantial. Okay, she'en says, and for like I don't know 10 shekels, the guy's not gonna take the father to court to extract it. So that's why it's not even on the table to discuss. Okay, we've got another situation. Dalma got a meisa. Rav Chuna, Rav Chitzav, Rav Chizkiya, Mishal, Bishal, made Rav Yosef lemilef minei. The Rav Chuna, Rav Pinchas, and Rav Chizkiya went to ask a Shilat Shalom to visit Rav Yosef and to ask of him and to learn from him. Says Amri, it says. Amrin matnita, here change the girsah to is kasha l'shmuel. It's a difficulty on Shmuel. How so? It says that why? Because nich nesal rishut. If, however, the wife already, the husband's already, if you like, married, he's come to rishus habal now. Then haba'al tzarich lavi raya. The husband has to bring a proof. But no proof is on him. Okay. Now, the Gemara says. It says, "V'lo ha'av tzarich lavi raya lo tzik tubam reshut habal." But if it's a safek, why is it we should go back to the marakama, and the kesef ketubah is owned by the husband? So why don't we say that the burden of proof is on the father to extract the funds? Okay, we're not saying that. We're saying the burden of proof now is on the husband that it occurred prior to coming to reshut. So Gemara says, "Amalum lo modesh mosh im mashach bala parat hamosh utzarich lavi raya." He says, "No." Don't we say that if it's she'im mashach bala para, if the para took the chamor already, and here and he's claiming there's some sort of mumim that were bad in the sale that he has to bring a raya that there were mumim, so too el ad shelotin nechaz roshto, so too v'zeh kemet shenach roshto k'misha mashach, meaning once the object in question has changed hands, the object the suffix thing. Not the, in other words, in the first case of the Kamor that died, or in this case, the woman who developed this mumim. Once it changes hands, we then Shmuel would agree, meaning we no longer, we say, as the lecheskat marakama, the chazak of marakama is no longer in play. And that's why, for example, in this situation, if the Kamor came into the possession and suddenly we discovered this mumim, well, the burden of proof would be on the person who has the chamor in his possession to say it occurred prior to coming into his possession. And similarly here, once she's nichneset or nichnesa ha-ba'al, then it's on the rishut, the burden of proof is on the ba'al to say this happened prior to coming to rishut, in order for him not to have to pay the ketubah if you want to divorce her on those grounds. Okay, so in other words, we really haven't brought a proof from this Mishnah Lakana Lakana in terms of the debate above. Okay, now the Gemara says. Rav Bar, Rav Hamnuna, Rav Ada Bar Achua said B'shem Rav, Machalo Para B'damim. Now, what we might do with this is I'll read it through this sugya, and then we're going to go over it again with Ridbaz, if you don't mind. The commentator is mostly similar, except one little change, and we've done this before when we've gone to comment with Ridbaz. I think it explains it really smoothly, and I'll see what I mean. Rav Hamnuna, Rav Ada. Okay, what happened is someone sold a cow for money. Okay, again, Reuven had a cow. Shimon wanted to buy it. Shimon says, "I'll buy it for $50, whatever." And he hasn't paid him yet, and also he hasn't done meshicha on the para either. So Dachke, he comes along and says, "Amalei." Havli in a pretty. Reuven says, "Okay, I want the money already. I need the money. I've got some business dealings to do. You want to buy it? Fine. You're going to pick it up on Thursday, whatever it is. We're going to do Meshicha then, but I need the money." So Amarle, mad by me name. So Shmuel says, "What do you want from me?" Amarle, Mizban le Chamor. I've got a deal I want to make to buy a Chamor. So what happens? Mashach bala para et hachamor. So he says, "Well, take my Chamor. Mashach bala para et hachamor." Let's say now the balapara now does meshich on the chamor. We say lo nikneta para. It's not. It doesn't turn into what's called a kinyan chalipin, because since the para was originally just simply a financial transaction, The handing over now, when he comes and takes the para, is like simply taking money. And if you take money, if you pay payment of money, doesn't finish the acquisition until the Mashiach has been done. So that's the point. When he says, Mashach bala para, and if he now takes the donkey, well, the cow has not yet been sold because, again, Shimon yet has not yet done Mashiach on the para. That was a critical point. We're going to go over this again with the Ritavaz in a moment. Now, the question is, Chamor mao shiikne? What about the Chamor? Does he even acquire the Chamor? So Rabba Amar le niknit, it works. Rav Yossi Amar lo niknit. Now, why wouldn't it work? Why wouldn't him grabbing the chamor mean he can acquire it? So Savar, oh, I'm gonna we according to Ribaz, you take out these brackets, Inun Chalipim, because when Reuven now took the chamor, he thought he was doing it by way of a transaction of Chalipin. But it wasn't Chalipin, it was through a payment of money. It was a context of money, because it was a monetary transaction, it was money that was owed for that cow. But later in Chalipin, so it didn't work. Okay? Now, Rav Mana Amar, let's go further to the next part. B'shem Rav Yossi, pa'amim shetchilat mekach lazeh v'tchilat mekach lazeh. Sometimes we're going to have pretty much the same case with one minor difference, which is, heyachavidei machra lo par b'damim. Let's say he sold a cow for a certain amount of money. Okay, Reuven says, I've got a cow. Shimon says, fantastic, I'll buy it for whatever, 1,000. Okay, smicha gabei chada priti, and he paid it mostly. Okay, but he kept some money behind. So Shimon paid 900, let's say. Smicha priti, lamachar ishkechei kaim taman. Reuven comes, look, I need the remainder already. I want to do something. Amalei, what do you want to do with mat? Avilei, amalei, bay inu priti, I need the money. Amalei, mat, bay inu, what do you want to do with it? Mineun, amalei, mizman le chad chamor. I want to buy a chamor. So amalei, 1 second, no problem. I've got a chamor right here. Chamor harecha lefanecha. Take the chamor. Importantly, the way Korban Eda says, well, clearly Reuven's going to have to return some of that money because it's not that chamor's not going to be worth 100. So mashach zeh, Kanazeh, mashach zeh, kanazeh. That each of them are independent transactions. It's not chalipin. So if he took the chamor, he's acquired the chamor, but he hasn't the chamor the para isn't sold. And if he took the para is sold, but the chamor is not, because these are all, if you like, separate individual financial transactions. Kinyan kesef, not kinyan chalipin. So, sorry, the way I explained it is what the words say now. I just read the words wrong. Okay, fine. Now, let's just, I made some minor changes, but we've got time, so I want to go through the Ritbaz now. The Ritbaz cites a whole manner of shittot, including the Korban Eda and Pnei Moshe, which he finds even more difficult. And then he says as follows. If you have a look, I'll read the Ritbaz inside. He says, Ube'emet, this is about like a third of the way into the Ritbaz. Yeah, probably. Be'emet, baru d'lo gasina tevat rabba. Remember, I took out the words rabba. Well, if he's a have a lishna to Rav Shmuel Yossi be'alma, because if you take the rabba, it makes sense for Rav Yossi in general. Why? Because I'm besechta shvi'is. If you look at besechta shvi'is, ematam zochet be'perot shvi'is. If someone wants perot shvi'is, when is it considered his? Rav Yemir says, savra me'ma, when you put in your basket. Rav Yossi savra me'ma, filu natnam betoch keilav lo zachabo. If you put in your basket, you're not acquiring it. Why? Do Savar, once again, the same type of lashon we saw here. Do who Savar the Inam Diday? Because he thought it's really his. The late Inu Diday, because you'd have to do an acquisition from Hefker. And he didn't. He just put it in his basket. And that alone is not enough to acquire it because he thought it was already his. Ad kan. The Achanami, so too, makes a lot of sense now. So Achim Kamar Rav Yossi, Eino Niknim. I mean, the first case where what happened was in the first case, again, no money was paid. Reuven sold his cow. Shimon hasn't done Mashiach yet. He just agreed for a sum of money. Reuven wants the money. Shimon says, take my donkey. So he takes the donkey. As we say, what quote Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi said that the donkey wouldn't even be acquired until when? Until after, sorry, it wouldn't be acquired at all. It says, De'inu tzava leit inu chalipin, because he thinks what he's doing is chalipin. So he's dad at this in this context is, I'm buying this by way of chalipin, and it's not a case of chalipin. And that fits in like with Rabbi Yossi Ba'alma. So Nevahashi Pashu, now the whole sugya makes sense, he says. Haper Shaka Shemaita as follows. Because what's happened? It was a monetary sale, not a barter. It says, What happened? Because machado parim bedamim, basically going through the sugi again, but I want to do it in because it makes it so clear. Machado parim bedamim, kemet shlo mashach lo kana para. No mashiach has been done. That's, as we said, explained it. Rak achar kach, Reuven wanted the money. Shetavo mamon, v'natnan lo ba'ad adamim, and instead what he did, he gave him a chamor, mashach et a chamor, and Shimon said, and Reuven therefore pull the chamor to orim, have a chamor makom damim, and therefore the chamor is in place of damim. Therefore, since the chamor is taking the role of money in this situation, therefore the parah is not sold because you can't buy animals with money, right? It's prepayment. So therefore, the parah is not sold when he does mishich on the parah. Because money, if you hand over the money, wouldn't be purchased. In other words, if at that time Reuven says, I want the money, he should have handed over the money, he wouldn't yet own the parah until he did Mashiach on it. So no difference now if Reuven's now grabbing the chamor. According to Rabbah, he understands, this is the machlok Rabbah and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbah says, okay, so he took the chamor, he owns the chamor now. Mashach the chamor, nikneh v'mashicha. And v'svirlei, because he holds like Rabbi Yirmiyah in Shvi'it, that simply putting the fruit in the basket is enough to be koneh. V'al zeh, Shiv Rabbi Yossi says, no. De'eno koneh, because again, in his mindset, he thought he was doing like his shita in Shvi'it, that if you don't have the right mechanism of kinyan in your mind, you're not koneh. So it's a zechiyah b'ta'ut. Since he hasn't lokibel the money for the para klum, he thought, now what I'm doing is chalipin, it's not really chalipin. That's why he's thinking what I'm doing now is a barter, and it wasn't a barter because original agreement was to do it through a financial means, through a kesef. That's why I'd skip a bit. That's why lokana klal. However, and you know, I'll explain the rest outside. But why is a sefer different? Why to bring another case with that slight difference? The reason is the second case is different because in the second case, since he's already partially paid off a little bit of it, then he knows what he's doing now by taking the para is not a barter anymore because some money's been paid and therefore he's not being misled. So even in that case, Rabbi Yossi would agree in that situation that when he pulls the chamor towards him, he's acquiring the chamor b'torat damim. And when the other person pulls the para towards him, he's also acquiring b'torat damim. And it's not there's no confusion, there's no misunderstanding that maybe this is a case of barter, which is quite nice because it explains the two different cases. And I think that's a smooth way of understanding this. Okay, listen. Colton.
So how do we have a mechira when the thing that's being bought is not present?
So it doesn't have to be present.
But the fact that I received the money doesn't make the kinyan.
Oh, no. So we're talking about different things. We're talking about actual barter, but money's not involved.
Right. But when we're talking about a mechira, kesef.
Oh, yes. So we're saying, so we'll discuss this, Mr. Chen, when we get to like a set of zikin and everything. But the way to mechira is through the three ways we explained. Either mesira, if it's a really big animal, or meshicha, drawing towards your hagba. That's what does the kinyan. Okay. Whether ma'ot konot or not, that's a debate in the Maraim anyway. But the thing that forms acquisition is actually taking that's why you have this beautiful innovation of kinyan agav karka. Because how to acquire something that's not present? That's why you have right. to use maybe use it. That's effectively what you might be doing. For example, when you're selling chametz and the like, you're doing agav the makom that it's situated and things like that. I think that's what happens. Mm. If I'm not mistaken.
Okay, good. All thank right. you.